All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. It is 4:03, and this is the one and only KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Chris, back with you after a nice interlude there from our delightful friend EB. And we are getting into Express Yourself here this afternoon, and it might be a long one. We're going to talk about auction items. We're going to talk about a bunch of events. We're going to talk about, talk to a bunch of different people, play some music. And I think we're going to be in here till 7 p.m. when we close that auction. We'll see. We're gonna play some long music breaks and stuff. But we're really excited. We have our dear friends from the Clay Center in the building, and they're going to talk about a different auction that is happening tonight that really is probably the event of the evening here in Carbondale.
I hope so.
So why don't y'all, we have Angela and Matt. You want to introduce yourselves? Or?
Yeah, sure. My name is Matthew Eames, and I'm the Director of Operations at the Clay Center.
And I'm Angela Bruno. I'm the Executive Director at the Carbondale Clay Center. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And so this is the, what year of the cup auction is this?
28th, if I recall correctly.
Yep, 28th.
28 years.
Annual cup auction, yeah.
And very first one, was that just in the Clay Center itself?
It was, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we had it there for quite a number of years before we outgrew the space in 2014. So we are on the 10th anniversary of not being in the space.
That's true. Actually, and that was my very first cup auction.
Oh, really?
I was on the special events committee at the time, and we took it off site. We actually had it at the Co-Venture building, which
was a great spot.
Which is excellent.
It was good.
Yeah. It was so fun. So 10 years of being off site now.
Yeah, and this year it's going to happen over at RVR in the barn there next to the golf club.
Yep.
And tell us about that venue. And
I mean, it's a beautiful space for all of us who've had the opportunity to be in there, work in there, or host events in there. We're really excited, and they were really friendly and helpful with us, and the lighting is lovely, and we just spread it out, you know, and we got a little over 240 cups, really creeping towards 250, just splayed out throughout the space.
It is a great space. The cups look amazing.
Yeah.
We were observing this year that it was probably the easiest setup we've ever had.
Really?
Hopefully 10 times maybe did something.
Also, I think Matt's given up on some things, like the perfect lighting. But it was pretty seamless and fun this year. Yeah. So
that's good to hear.
Beautiful venue.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, 240 different cups, and really people from all over the country, probably internationally maybe even.
There's a few, yeah. All over the country, you know, from the Valley to the rest of the United States, and then it branches out a little bit towards Canada and, you know, a little bit of UK here and there. I'm trying to remember if there was anyone from there's an artist from New Zealand. So, it just branches out, and it's always such a incredible moment when we get all those cups in the mail.
It's like Christmas,
you know,
every day.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just people willing to send them our way for this fundraiser. So
and probably a good majority of them have been involved with the Clay Center or done
some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Yeah. You know, whether that's just having worked with us in the small capacity, through exhibitions, things like that.
Former residents,
workshops, passing through in a way, like, you know, being that we're close enough to Anderson Ranch, we like to partner with them, those kind of things. So it really broadens our reach. Just building relationships every year when we go to national conference or, you know, to other clay related things, continuing to build that basis. And I mean, it's just clay artists are so generous in that way, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, most artists are, but for what we're talking about in this moment, all those cups. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And it is spectacular to see them all displayed out in the auction. It's so incredible to see.
And it's a really, if people haven't been to it before, it is a really cool kind of aesthetic experience, because you have the lingua franca of the cup. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different ways of interpreting what that means. And some people go totally sculptural and you can barely drink out of this thing. And some people really hone in on the function and the feel and the, you know, you can walk around and, you know, got to be careful, but you can pick them up and see how they feel in your hand. Is this something I want to have coffee in every morning?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you get into the room and, you know, you hear the number 240, but when you see it, it's like, it's a totally different experience. Like, 240 cups is a lot of cups.
It's a lot of cups. It's a lot of cups.
Yeah.
And there's so much variety and just like different styles and shapes and colors. And it's very cool.
Yeah.
There was actually a really interesting non-functional cup in there this year.
Very non-functional. Yeah. Yeah. The blackest of black.
Yeah. It's called the most beautiful cup in the world. And it was fired at 12,000 degrees.
Whoa.
It's pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
Okay. For neophytes, what's the normal firing range?
2340, so 2340 is a traditional cone 10 firing. So this is was done
times as bigger.
Yeah, exactly. It's it was done in shuttle creation testing facility in Boulder, I believe. So they used very specific materials that are similar to like shuttle space shuttle tiles and things like that to make it so that they could fire it that hot. So
it's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And you probably have some people who may have gotten a cup in almost every single one of these on as well. Like this is sounds like a new, there's novelty and familiarity.
Yeah. It's always, you know, and sometimes it comes back around. The cups kind of like come back to the cup auction in a way. It's so interesting and to hear the stories throughout the years because, 28, there's lots of stories, you know. So
it is really fun to get old cups. People that collect them and locally will clear out some of their collection and bring us a box of cups, and it's really cool to see the old ones from former cup auctions.
Cool. So, yeah, and so this, as everyone probably is aware, this is a fundraiser for the Clay Center's programs and making it all happen over there. Tell us about maybe what's happening in the program landscape this winter and spring and what this funds, what it makes happen, you know?
I mean, that's what we're all, you know, this time of year, we're all trying to support those nonprofits. I mean, we do so much with what we can, always trying to educate and enrich lives through ceramic arts. So, you know, we're working with a variety of different other nonprofits, Aspen Hope Center, Ascendigo, Momenta, Mountain Valley Developmental, and the list kind of keeps going that we have been picking up with a lot of different, like, minimal programming here and there once a week or once every couple weeks or sometimes even just once a month. We have a regular scheduled programming that we do at night and in the mornings. We've got a lot of kids' classes, and we've really been picking up on kids' programming as well because that, you know, every age group matters, and art is one of those things that sometimes gets kind of cast aside in a way. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to shine the spotlight on it through the materiality of clay. And then between that exhibition that we have going on, the Holiday Invitational, which is wrapping up on the 23rd, and just prepping for the new year for another whole year of programming. So, which will kick off in January, the middle of January, and just kind of keep rolling forward, you know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you said the 23rd is this Holiday Invitational closes.
That's the last day of it. So, come by and get yourself some last minute Christmas presents, you know?
Yeah. What should people expect to see if they come by?
At the main studio, but we also have a sister location at Main Street Gallery in Framer.
Oh, great.
So both locations have Holiday Invitational pots, and sculptures and jewelry. We have some ceramic jewelry in there. So there's a very nice variety, and it's not just, you know, I don't want to say basic. It's not just brown pots, or it's not just black, or there's color. There's, you know, like I said, jewelry. There's a full diversity, and we're really actually excited to show off, you know, not only local artists, but
there's some new national artists.
Yeah,
in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Many options, and you know, not just with us too. Like, go over to the launch pad, check them out. They're gonna have some great artwork too. Some great local people to support. So,
yeah. So many amazing opportunities, obviously, around the holidays around here to see a lot of cool art pieces. But yeah, for folks who maybe just be tuning in, this is happening tonight at starts at 5, right?
Starts at 6, actually.
Starts at 6, sorry. Yeah.
6 to 8:30.
So it closes at 8:30.
The auction will close at 8:30. We will take a little bit of time to check people out, and then we're going to have a fun little dance party from 9 to 11.
Oh, okay.
With DJ Benny.
DJ Benny.
Yeah. Nice, okay.
Yeah,
it should be a good amount of time to get yourself over to RVR, River Valley Ranch, near Carbondale here, and or in Carbondale, and get to the barn there, and go bid on some cups tonight.
Get some cups.
Anything else you want to share with us that's going on, or excited about, or?
Well, we are still working on this campaign for a new building.
Right,
And we're kind of wrapping up this year with that, and looking forward to 2026. We have some really exciting cultivation plans, and we're excited for another year of fundraising for the campaign.
There's a little ways to go there, but you're at least 50% of the way, right? Or,
well, we're getting close. We want to break ground on our 75% of the goal. We're roughly around 3.6 right now, and we have about 3.5 more to raise before we can break ground. So we're really shooting for spring of 27. Like I said, we have some really exciting cultivation plans. I'm going to be working with Mark Fisher and Allegheny Meadows this year on some pretty incredible private cultivation dinners.
Cool.
And we're just giving it our all. We just received the Betcher grant, which is really exciting for us and added legitimacy to this. And
wait, tell us about that a little bit.
So the Betcher Foundation, they do capital grants for projects just like ours. And we applied last year and did not receive it. And then we applied this year and we did. So it's a $35,000 grant from the Betcher Foundation. It's really exciting.
That is great.
Yeah,
and you'll see their name on all kinds of artistic things, particularly in Denver, but all over the state.
It's really exciting for us to get that. So
cool. So yeah, so much cool stuff happening at the Clay Center. But obviously, first things first, go over to the River Valley Ranch tonight and check out the Clay Cup auction.
Yeah.
And then obviously the holiday invitational through the 23rd. And if you got a big tax cut this year, you know where to send that check.
Yeah, you do. We'll take them.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Best of luck with this event. Really,
thank you.
Yeah, it's such a fun event. Everyone should. It's so fun. Great.
It's really cool. And good luck with the rest of your Labor of Love auctions.
Yeah, go. Yeah, everyone should get on your phone now.
Get on your phone, yes.
Make some high bids and make sure they're, protected from further bidding, and then get over there by 6 so you can make the first bids on the best cups there, and then stay all the way so you can protect those bids.
Yeah.
That's right.
Awesome. All right. Well, yeah, I better let you guys get over there and start moving tables around.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
But thanks so much.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's hear this.
All right.
Cody Lee.
Welcome back. That was great to hear from Matt and Angela.
Yeah.
At the Clay Center. That's one of my favorite events of the whole year, really.
It's nice. It's very cohesive in a certain way. Unlike our Labor of Love, which is kind of all over the place. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it's just cups.
It's just cups.
Amazing, beautiful cups.
And great Christmas gifts and gifts to yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
Check it out over at the what do they call that? The barn, the
Thompson barn. Yeah.
And RVR. It's a beautiful little venue, and just find your way over there. Carbondale Clay Center, great place to support.
Great. Well, we've got a couple of different ways we could go. We've got some things in the can here that we've recorded yesterday. Should we play
Roll the dice here.
Let me roll the dice. Let's start with this interview I conducted yesterday with Jim Horowitz, who is the founder and CEO of and president and CEO of Jazz Aspen Snowmass, and he's gonna we'll hear from him about what they've got going on, a brand new venue happening up in Aspen that's been in the works for a while.
We have Jim Horowitz here with us, and the founder and CEO.
President and CEO.
Yeah, founder, president, CEO of Jazz Aspen Snowmass. Mm-hmm. And right on the cusp of a really exciting moment, right?
Yes, it is. Unreal.
So, yeah, tell us about what's happening this coming week.
Well, we are about to open our first permanent venue. It's a project that's really been 7 years since it really, we went under contract originally to purchase the space. It was the summer of August of 2018. And right around the time that we were getting ready to show the world our plans, it was March 2020. So our plans went into mothballs like everything else did for a while. Uh-huh. So it took a while for things to get going, but eventually a couple of years after COVID, we started to pick up momentum in the campaign, and then it just got more serious a couple of years ago. And the questions went from, is this really going to happen, to when is it going to happen, to it really is happening. And that's the way it's just unfolded. But now it's happening. It's real. The place is gorgeous. It's built. I mean, we have little things to do, but anybody who walks in will be like, wow, this looks pretty amazing. So we're starting with the public shows are starting next weekend. Saturday, December 20th, with Trombone Shorty, who's a very famous trombonist from New Orleans, who actually was here as a kid, 15 years old. He played at one of our early JES education galas, yeah, in Snowmass. We have a great picture of him. It's just a little squirt. And then he's been back at the festival in Labor Day in June. We've watched him as he's, now he's like a big deal. Uh-huh. So you don't get to see him in a club very often. Yeah. Almost never really at this point. He sells out Red Rock, so it's pretty cool that he's coming. But anyway, that's the first public show. And then there's a series of shows. We're calling it our grand opening. Uh-huh. And the grand opening basically runs from December 20th through January 4th. And it's a group of artists, all of whom we have long relationships with, who are, you know, certified gold. They're great artists. They not only are they talented artistically, but they also are artists that have the gift of connection, which is something that we value a lot. They have a lot of charisma. They know how to be with an audience, and in a small venue like ours, it's an intimate venue. It seats about 175 people. Yeah. 175 to 200 is the capacity with the bar. Uh-huh. That's still, by general standards, that is a club, and it's an intimate one. Uh-huh. So we need artists that know how to connect, and we have a great group of them. Uh-huh. It ranges from the most of them actually are Grammy Award winners at one time or another.
Yeah, who's on the
well? The list includes after Trombone Shorty, the next which is on the 20th and the 21st and 22nd, the great Melt. Think 9 or 10 time Grammy winning bassist Christian McBride, mm-hmm. who we've been working with for 30 years. He's playing with Benny Green, great, also Grammy winning superstar jazz pianist. Mm-hmm. They're doing duets. And then it's a double bill. The first half of the double bill is a wonderful singer, Nikki Harris, and her band. And she's just a superstar, super talent, who sings jazz, blues, soul, gospel. She's great. So that show is the 21st and 22nd, a double bill. Then we're off for a couple of days of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Then we come roaring back with some really high energy shows between Christmas and New Year's. On the 27th, mm-hmm. we have a great band named The Motet. The Motet is a Denver-based band. They blend jazz and funk and soul and R&B. Yeah. They're just a great, great, great band.
Listeners are probably very aware of that.
And we've all known them, and full disclosure, they which tells you something about how old I am. I hired them for my 50th birthday, which was a really, really good party. The Motet's a great band.
Yeah,
That's going to be the first night of a format that we're debuting at this new venue called Cafe Dance, which we're quite excited about. Uh-huh. It's still going to be set up as a cafe with small tables and mm-hmm. comfortable chairs, but we're going to take one side, mm-hmm. and for certain bands like the Motet, which are really danceable, mm-hmm. and we're just going to pull out the tables there, mm-hmm. tables and chairs, and create a standing room area, and it'll attach to something that we're to a bar ticket, mm-hmm. which is just $30, which is something new that we're doing because we have the space to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be something. The motet are going to be in that format, and then the next night, a wonderful band celebrating their 25th anniversary, the New Master Sounds,
British fantastic
funk and jazz band, also great musicians and very danceable, high energy show. We've had them.
And what date is that again?
That is the motet is 27 and New Master Sounds are 28.
Wow.
Then on the 29th and 30th, an artist that's beloved to us, she's been coming here literally for decades. She's a master, multi Grammy winning vocalist. Her name is Dee Dee Bridgewater. She's a superstar. And the show that she's doing is fantastic. It's a new show for her. It's called Memphis Soulphony, and it's basically it's a pretty large band, 11 on stage, and it includes three background singers and three background horns, plus Dee Dee, plus her rhythm section, and it's Memphis soul music.
Sweet.
And it's really smoking. We've had a version of it, but with a smaller band. This is the full the full Monty, so to speak. And that's on the 29th and 30th. It's worth it for two nights.
KDNK listeners, I'm sure, are aware of the Labor Day Festival, but, you know, there's been this whole long-running strategy of sort of reactivating downtown. And in this case, this is, people may not know about the Jazz Center and the whole project and its recent history, but they probably know about the Red Onion. And it's an interesting way that this is coming full circle with the Red Onion.
When you say they know about the Red Onion, what do you mean exactly?
I would say a lot of people, would know the name of the Red Onion and remember the bar of yore. But they may not remember the history, the jazz history.
Most people don't know. That's what I was wondering. You'd have to be rather mature, if I could use that word, to know the history of jazz at the Red Onion, which is a very brief flowering in the early 1950s. And part of what got us to this property was a wild circumstance where I literally got a handwritten envelope without a return address on it a few years ago. I think it was maybe shortly after we'd announced that, you know, we found this property and we're thinking of doing something, you know, there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, handwritten.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I looked at it and it was just, what's that? I mean, I run a festival, so I get things sometimes. Mm-hmm. Usually I open them. It's not like I get a ton of mail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unsolicited. But this one I opened. And I just opened it, and I could see a handwritten note. And I picked it up, and this photo dropped out of it. And it was the photo of Billie Holiday standing in front of the Red Onion. And it had fallen into this individual's collection somehow. And he said, I don't really know when it was that I came into possession, but based on what you're doing, I think you might be able to make use of this. And then we did some research, and it turns out that it was a man named John Silber from Chicago, who was obviously very motivated by what the Pep Keys were doing with the music festival and the Institute in the late 40s. And he was like, well, if they can do it with Stravinsky and people like that, why not jazz? And for a minute he tried, and he actually somehow did shows at the Red Onion. And there were, Duke Ellington was there, just a handful of them, and then it didn't stick. But the history is there, and it's a great piece of history.
And just some unbelievable characters in the history of jazz.
Yeah, amazing. You know, absolutely.
Must have been, I mean, gosh, sure, to be a fly on the wall of one of those.
Well, and you know, when that was happening in the early 50s, the Red Onion was the only thing on that street. There was nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing. It was just dirt. And, you know, considering, you know, how big Aspen had been in the 1800s when it was like 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, it's wild to think how it just went away. And then these little kernels, you know, of life, you know, held on. So, yeah.
And so this, I assume, will be really the hub of your June festival when that comes around.
Not to say the hub, because the June festival, it will be a venue for sure.
Uh-huh.
But the June festival's the pleasure is that it's multiple venues, and that's going to won't change.
Uh-huh.
This venue will just replace our VIP tent, which is better. We won't have to worry about weather and water and things that were always an issue in parks.
Uh-huh.
So, but otherwise, the real thing of having this venue is that besides just being available in June, is that it will be available year-round. Mm-hmm. That's its gift. And we've been begging and borrowing for a long time on Small Vine. The Cafe series, which started, and this is really a growth of the Jazz Cafe especially, mm-hmm. that's now been going on for 15 years. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe, but it started in 2011, mm-hmm. and it's moved around. But the main places were the basement of the Nell and then the roof of the Art Museum. But the short version of how we got to this is that gradually they just became unavailable mm-hmm. at the same time that there was obviously an appetite for us to keep doing small venues. So that's mm-hmm. how we started to think, gee, maybe somehow someday we could have, you know, and here we are.
But it's a wonderful idea because it definitely harkens back to me. I mean, because my experience of jazz, I don't think there's anything more powerful than that small, intimate.
Oh, it's where it was born.
Where it's born. And the
where it still belongs.
Exactly. Where, yeah. And that magic of watching somebody do an improvisation in front of you and yeah. go out on a limb and take a risk and yeah. have to figure out how to resolve it and yeah. work with everybody else. It's really, it's such an amazing thing and a thing that, you know, not that many people appreciate anymore these days, but yeah. It's so cool that here in Aspen this is happening.
We'll have a venue.
Yeah.
So, and then it'll also be a place for our music education programs, uh-huh. which also are frequently begging and borrowing to try to find a place to do anything, gather, yeah. rehearse, you name it. So it will be very available, especially in the fall and spring when we're not doing uh-huh. so many public shows. And it'll be then in the season, mm-hmm. it will be a place that really that fills a niche, I think, in Aspen for a small to medium size gathering spot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's versatile. Mm-hmm. It can be, of course, it can always have music because it has a stage and sound and lights, but it can also be, it's fine for the food and wine
yeah.
or for any kind of corporate meeting group or a private group that mm-hmm. just, you know, celebrating something and they just want to have a party and we can find a night for them. And so it'll be a very versatile venue and its size, you know, 175 to 250 is its sweet spot. Uh-huh. And it's unique.
Yeah.
So we're very, very excited. We can hardly, we're about to have our first, little event for the ACRA and I'm just going to have to walk through and see it. I've been there, but I finally see people there. It's going to get real.
Well, I can't wait to come back hopefully and get a tour
yeah,
when
we'll
you're less
it.
Busy
and we'll do it.
And also, you know, you also have recording and broadcast.
There is it's right
capabilities
a
there.
Recording broadcast studio, which is like that's a whole new world for us.
And I think, you know, I have high hopes that we can partner with you in some ways
I'm
to
sure.
disseminate some of the magical things that are going to start happening.
Yes,
there.
Well, we hope, you know, we're live from the Paul Jazz Center.
Yeah.
In Aspen, here we are.
Here we are. Giddy up, let's go.
All right, speaking of let's go, I'm going to get rolling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Keep in touch.
Yeah. Grace Potter, Oasis, from her record Medicine. And we're here at the midpoint of, well, this week it's going to be a little bit longer than the midpoint, but the midpoint of Express Yourself here. Nice to talk to Jazz Aspen and the Clay Center. And let's check in with a couple of items that have not gotten bids yet on the Labor of Love auction. And let's see. There's a lot of decent number of things here that people should check out the website. You go to kdnk.org. There's a banner at the top, or there's like a banner on the side, or scroll down for ways. But I didn't turn you on. Sorry.
What is Hakomi therapy with Annie McIntosh?
Let's see if it tells you experiential psychotherapy. Yeah, right. I don't know. Well, but it's with Annie McIntosh, who
amazing.
Hosts Women's Voices in the Detour on Mondays and at 10 a.m. And very soothing voice and presence in the station. So I can't imagine it wouldn't be a wonderful experience. So
Yeah, that's got no bids on it. It's worth $150, and yeah, go check that out. There's all kinds of stuff. There's let's see, there's some pet sitting from Less Is More. I guess we should do theme of DJ donations right now.
Yeah.
So Annie McIntosh, and then we have the Chameleon doing a 2-hour architectural consultation. That's Jeff Dickinson.
That's big.
Yeah. And two nights of pet sitting from Less Is More. Leslie Johnson from Less Is More.
Get to meet your local DJ celebrities and get to know their skills.
Yeah. Colorado Animal Rescue. Let's see what this thing is. A pet adoption certificate from Colorado Animal Rescue. So that's cool. And does Erin Galbraith? She doesn't still work there, does she?
I don't think so.
But she
Costa Rican vacation. So has anyone? No one has bid on that?
No.
Oh my goodness!
This oasis in central Costa Rica, Aquiares, Cartago, Costa Rica. It's on a coffee farm with a hike to a waterfall and a view of an active volcano. It's most fun for a family with children over the age of 6, based on the local activities available, which are hiking, horseback riding, whitewater rafting, waterfall rappelling, etc.
Five nights in Cartago, Costa Rica, out in nature, in the mountains, and the starting bid is $300, only $300.
Yeah.
$300 for
and
5 days.
And it's valued at $600, which I bet is undervalued already. So I really feel like people should make that happen. And you could visit the founder, potentially, of KDNK, lives in Costa Rica, Manny.
Yeah, and that's not that far from the airport in San Jose. It's, you know, it's a pretty easy flight from Denver.
Yeah. Blake McDonald, wonderful guy, one. A chiropractic adjustment with him. Nobody's been on that yet. There's a portable indoor heater.
Ooh, $20. I might go for that.
Yeah.
We like carry a little indoor heater around with us to like every room we go to.
Yeah. And thanks to Ace Hardware for donating that. They have new ownership. You should go check it out. They're really restocking over there. And thanks to them. And, one night stay at a Braun hut. Those are beautiful, probably the most beautiful huts in North America.
Oh my goodness.
In Ashcroft, and
starting bid at $240.
Yeah, and you can get 14 people to go on that. So if you defray that with 14 people, admittedly you have to have good backcountry skills and know about avalanche terrain and how to traverse it and read forecasts and such like that. But There's a lot of people with that skill around here, and yeah, get your
crew. Get on your machine and start bidding right now. How do they do it, Chris?
Go to kdnk.org, so you can go on your phone or at your computer, and you can, when you show up, you land on a page that asks you to register, but you can look at the catalog first if you want to just look at things, but if you got to register, obviously, to bid on things, and that's easy too. So while you're sitting around or if you get when you get home, or if you've got a couple minutes before you're going over to the Clay Center's deal, go check this out.
What's the Sopra Sun one down there?
Oh yeah, a 1/4 page ad placement in both the Sopra Sun and the Sol del Valle, and they'll translate it for you too. So,
starting bid at $300. That'd be kind of fun to get a group together and make some kind of like political message or something. I'm just, you know, yeah, just saying, just throwing it out there if you want to talk to me.
Yeah. And yeah, and that's, you know, all these starting bids are half the value of the item. So you're almost, if nobody's bid on it yet, you're almost guaranteed an enormous deal. So anyway, that's what's going on with the Labor Love auction. We've got an hour and a half left, basically.
Enormous deals. Season ending closing.
What are we gonna play next?
Let's keep on expressing ourselves.
You recorded this next one.
Yeah, we've got Max Gomez, who will be playing at Steve's Guitars next week, and it was my first time meeting him. Let's play this. Max Gomez is a singer-songwriter based out of Taos, New Mexico, and has been in the music world for quite a bit of his young life and is also a co-founder and producer of the annual Red River Folk Festival down there in Red River, New Mexico. He just released his third album, Memory Mountain, just recently here at KDNK, and also comes to town on Thursday, December 18th to Steve's Guitars in downtown Carbondale. And we're honored to have Max on the phone with us. Okay, Max Gomez, thanks for taking the time to chat with Katie and Kay today. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Cody. Glad to be on the phone with you.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I'm in sunny L.A., and we're lamenting and celebrating the life of Raul Amahlo.
Oh.
We're getting ready to head north. I'm going to San Francisco in the morning to start my run of December shows, which inevitably takes me to Boulder, Colorado, to E-Town in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, man. So we're in Carbondale, Colorado, and you're here on Thursday night at Steve's Guitars, which is a really special place. I think you've played there before, and I'm really stoked for you that you're going to E-Town.
Yeah, I got a stop in Denver as well with Swallow Hill at the Tuft Theater. And Carbondale, I stopped in and played a show, I think at the Radio Room there, years and years ago when my first record came out. I've been trying to come back every year since, and it's finally, I don't know how many years it's taken, but I'm finally coming back.
Well, I hear that your first album came out in 2013, and Luke Nessler, our previous music director, was just telling me, we both love the new record, Memory Mountain, by the way, and he was just telling me this afternoon that he got to meet you and you came and played in the studio.
Yeah, I remember it fondly. I remember doing one of those small concerts, the Radio Room, and having like a full house of loving musicos right there in Carbondale, and that's why I've been wanting to get back there over and over all these years, so I'm finally checking it off the list.
Well, that's awesome, Max. Well, this album is a standout, Memory Mountain, and it's been a little while for you, at least from what I've seen of some of your recorded music, and tell us about how this album came together.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, it had been a while, but it's not like I ever stopped or paused, making music or anything like that. I just was sort of, finding my way from, one company to the next. And I made an EP and several singles in between and recorded a lot with other artists and toured consistently during all that time between that first album and my now second album. I spent a lot of years being branded and cast and cursed a one-album artist, and I'm proud now to be a two-album artist.
Oh, man. Well, whatever the critics say, right? As long as you're out there doing what you love and creating something, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Albums are not easy, too. I mean, the times have changed, but, it used to be like making and releasing an album was about like building a house on the beach. A lot of engineers and architects and funding and stuff, and it's a little easier maybe now. And I started my own label to assist with the release of this Memory Mountain album. And got it out there in the world, and we're promoting it on the radio. It's doing pretty well. And this is the year of Memory Mountain for me.
Is that the Marvel Tone? Is that your label?
Yeah, that is.
That's awesome.
It's the homegrown label.
Well, good for you. Good on you for taking charge like that.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
And you're still based out of Taos area?
Well, Taos is always home, and I spend about half of my free time there when I'm not touring. But I also spend a lot of time in Los Angeles, where I am right now, sunny L.A.
Yeah, weather's always nice.
I have a home studio, and weather's always nice, and food's always good, and there's a songwriter and a band on just about every corner.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, there must be a lot of creative juices going on in that town.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of cities within this city.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you grew up in northern New Mexico, Max, and can you speak a little bit about that, about what it was like growing up there and what inspired you as a youngster?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, growing up in Taos, New Mexico, where I'm from, I thought it was I didn't know it at the time, but looking back on it, it was pretty Wild West. You know, our parents kind of turned us loose. Me and all my friends, we were kind of running wild from, you know, about age 11 or 12 on. And I think we were raised by competitive nature, you know, and nowadays everything's a little different, right? We live in the era of Ring cameras and GPS phones and things, and musically, I got a job there when I was about 14 or 15, and I always thought I'd be a blues guitar player. That was my goal in life when I was a 13-year-old, and my first job was very much a country and western and singer-songwriter, like, dance sort of two-stepping show. I don't know how I got hired there. It just was an accident. But I was hired to perform at a place like that where we were supposed to fill the dance floor when I was about 14.
Wow.
And that's when Texas and Tennessee singer-songwriter music, country music, folk music really started to infiltrate my day-to-day life. And it's never left. So that's my inspiration.
And how old are you now, Max?
I'm 37 now.
Okay.
So it's been a few years since that first gig.
That's pretty cool to be inspired to be a blues guitarist at age 13. Who was a big standout for you, one of your mentors at that time?
Yeah, well, my older brother, Zach, I have four older brothers. And my older brother, Zach, is about 7 years older than me. So when I was 9, he was 16, and he got a Gibson Les Paul, a black one with gold pickups. And I started picking it up every time he put it down. And my brother, Zach, also oddly listened to B.B. King records nonstop. And he and I became obsessed with these live records that B.B. King had made specifically in the 60s, like Live at the Regal and Live at Cook County. And I still listen to Live at the Regal about once a week. It's in my top three albums of all time. And B.B. King really kind of became the hero. And you know, soon after, he made that album with Eric Clapton, and I started to notice that and started noticing who these songwriters were that wrote these old blues songs. And that well is so deep, it's no doubt a life's work to study that music in a full way. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm stuck. I'm anchored right around there.
Oh, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just tuning in, we're with Max Gomez, who will be coming to Colorado next week, and he'll be at Steve's Guitars in Carbondale on Thursday night, December 18th. Then you're going to Denver, and you're going to play E-Town in Boulder. And so you're just about to start the tour in California, or what's going on?
Yeah, yes. I'm moving to San Francisco tomorrow. I play in Healdsburg on Thursday. In the wine country, a town called Dry Town, Friday, and Berkeley on Saturday. And then I head to Colorado the following week, and I'll see you guys there at Steve's Guitars, so on and so forth. Then I go back home to New Mexico for Christmas and New Year's, and I play around Taos and Santa Fe and Los Alamos, as long as we got our Geiger counters tuned up and all that. And then it's off to the races. Then my first shows of 2026 are actually me opening a tour for Styx, the band Styx were playing these, you know, rock and roll arenas.
Wow.
In Arizona and such.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Not the gig you would think the young folk singer from the OVL in Taos would have these days, but hey man, I'm a big fan of Styx too. And honored to be on that big stage.
Sweet. Well, Max, we're looking forward to you coming back to town, and I would highly encourage the listeners to get out and check him out at Steve's Guitars on Thursday, December 18th. I think the show starts at about 8 p.m., and we're rooting for your new album, Memory Mountain, and hope to get more spins on that here at KD&K, Max.
Right on, Cody. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you guys supporting the music and the new album, and I can't wait to see you out there in Carbondale.
All right. You drive safely on your tour, and we'll see you really soon.
All right, Cody. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Max. Peace, man.
Okay. See ya.
In a barren but beautiful desert, my pony up and died. Found my way to an old highway and put my thumb out for a ride. A team of crazed coyotes stopped and offered me a ride. He said, what do you know of New Mexico? And I looked to them and cried. It ain't new. Some things you ought to know, like one and one is two. Skies where the four winds blow, and corazones contento. Some things you ought to know, like New Mexico. Well, the trunk was filled with chili, headed west on I-40, a destination headquarters, one-man Trader Joe. The deal was on the table for an insufficient sum, when the buyer had the nerve to ask, where the hell's this chili from? I told him this. It ain't new, and it ain't Mexico. Some things you ought to know, like one and one is two. Skies where the four winds blow, and corazones contento. Some things you ought to know, like New Mexico. Kansas City Airport, they asked me for ID, so I showed them my driver's license to the gal at security. She said, although you speak good English, I cannot let you through, because for international international travelers, only passports will do. I told her this.